Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Clift and Robin. You can join Clift and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Clift and Robin.
It is Saturday, June 26, 2010, and unbeknownst to a lot of people and a lot of requests, we are back!
In spite of the requests, I know.
And we have a special guest with us today. We have a lady named Heather. She's one of the people I work at.
With.
Welcome to Live Brain.
Changed my mind. thank you, Robin.
And we got a lot to talk about today. The main topic today is BP, the oil spill and alternative fuels, and we also, which we'll get into in a few minutes in the show, another What the Heck Are They Thinking award. But in the meantime, how are you doing today, Cliff?
I am absolutely fine this morning. I've been less than well for the week, but I went to the doctor, and it's the story of my life at this. You know, I had never realized in my whole life I would spend half of my life talking about my illnesses. But as you get older and the illnesses get more intense and more open, I guess it's what you start doing, huh?
Just talking about getting old? But doesn't getting old talk about getting old?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think I told you this before. I've spent my entire life, when I first got into radio, I was really young. I mean, I was, my first radio station that I worked at, I was 14. And I have always, well, I'm impressed with me, okay? And I always think that I know what I'm talking about, what I'm doing. And I do spend a lot of time researching and reading and learning things, you know. And so I always figured I really knew what I was doing, but I was never old enough for anybody to take me serious. I was always too young, and the older people knew better and all this sort of thing. So most of my life I spent trying to get old. And unfortunately, a few years ago, all of a sudden, whap, I was. And I think it was a mistake. Now I'm trying to...
So do you listen to your doctors?
Well, you know, I'm one of these horrible people that for the first 60 years of my life, I never went to a doctor. And consequently, some of my ailments and illnesses and things had already gotten well started before I even realized what was going on and went to a doctor.
Oh,
I see. Now I definitely do, but I didn't. I've had actually amazingly good health most of my life, and literally I went the first 60 years without ever even going to a doctor other than maybe two or three times. I did, when I was in the military, I had pneumonia, and of course when you're in the military, you do what they tell you. And so, but I was so sick with the, when I got pneumonia, they could have shot me, and I wouldn't have given it to him. So, but
yeah, that's the thing about when you get older and the warranty runs off, everything falls apart.
It really does. It really does. Yeah. So I spend my life now running around trying to sign up for Medicare things and Medicaid things and ways to get everything paid for and all this sort of thing. And unfortunately, my health has deteriorated to the point that I can't hardly work. So. And we don't need to talk about this for the whole world to hear. this is not our subject.
Broadcasting to the world. And speaking of broadcasting to the world, if the world decides they want to talk to us, how do they do that, Cliff?
They can give us a call if they'd like to do that at 646-721-9887. Or they could email us at talk@krbnradio.com. Or they could... call us. Well, we just mentioned that. Well, that's a chat room. How do they get into the chat room?
The chat room, you just, on our main page, there's a little icon that's lit up right now, and it says chat.
Well, we are, I guess. Okay.
But if you want to go directly to it, of course, the website is www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, and you'll see the little green flashing chat word down there, and more than welcome to join us in the chat room, especially if you're kind of nervous about coming on to even an internet talk show.
Well, I'd rather they call. I want to talk to people. I don't like to, and I never write letters. I hardly ever write emails, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Robin and I have been friends for years, and I've written her like 2 emails in my life. And one of them was today, interestingly.
Exactly.
There was no personal information in there, however. I talk on the phone. And not so much on the phone, but boy, you get me in person. And everybody will. My kids used to get so mad. We'd go someplace, and they always made sure they brought an MP3 player or a CD player or something to listen to, because they knew damn well as soon as I got out of the car to see anybody that I'd be an hour before I got back again.
Well, yeah, and what was your job?
Well, I made a living talking too, yes.
Exactly.
I've been on the air for 45, 50 years, something like that, and most of the time I've done on-the-air things. I've also been in management, but... Yeah, I've spent that. My jaws should be really tired. They really should.
Yeah, and something that Cliff really hates me bringing up, folks, is the Cottage Grove newspaper declared him as the voice of Cottage Grove. Celebrity.
Really? And then they fired me. Well,
and they fired you.
Yeah, right.
Who's the new voice?
I don't think they've acknowledged him as that.
Oh,
yeah. They didn't have one. Well, shall we get on to things?
Let's get on to things, right. We've chit-chatted enough.
Okay. I got a nice little... let's get on. Let's go ahead and do What Are They Thinking?
What are they thinking?
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
And this week, this comes from the Idaho Reporter, June 25th. At the Idaho Republican State Convention, Idaho Republicans decided they will not be adapting the Jedi religion as the official state religion. The committee at the GOP's convention on Friday unanimously rejected a resolution submitted by Tasco Tinis of Boise, whose full resolution includes, whereas Jedi served as guardians of peace and justice, and whereas Jedi requires the deepest commitment and most serious mind, and whereas only Jedi can master a lightsaber, and finally... whereas a Jedi strength flows from the Force, therefore the result, the Republican Party of Idaho adopts the Jedi religion as the official religion of the state of Idaho, and they decided, I don't think so.
Well, I think my only problem with that is they speak funny.
They speak funny?
Yeah, they talk funny.
Who, the Jedi or Idahoans?
The what?
The Jedi or...
Oh, the Idahoans. Well, probably both. I don't know, but the Jedi do speak. I don't know why, but for some reason, I've never really mastered that. I have to really concentrate to understand what they're saying with their silly little speech impediment.
Well, I do have another one though, which is kind of interesting. And believe it or not, that the thing about the Jedi is actually a true story.
Well, you know, actually, most of the way through, I would think it would be a good religion or whatever you want to adopt.
Yeah, could be. another story, and this comes out of Nevada. Nevada candidates to draw lots to break election tie. Both challengers for the Republican Nye County Commissioner tied at 381 votes apiece on the June 8th primary, and they'll cut cards or throw dice or draw straws to decide who will be the winner.
That figures. You wouldn't want to... Well, you know, actually, I think that's a smart idea because I get upset at all these special elections that they have around here. We have way too many special elections, and you know, probably most of that could be done just as thoroughly or just as efficiently by just, you know, cutting the cards.
And what I'd like to do at this particular moment, I'd like to welcome a caller to the show, Area 541. Welcome to the show, KRBN.
Is this me?
It is you.
It is me. Wow. Hi there.
Yeah,
what do I win? What do I win? What do I win? No.
Well, Jay, tell him what.
So what's up, Robin Cliff? Robin and Cliff.
Everything is up. I'm telling you, the whole world is falling apart, and we've got to fix it.
Well, you know, one thing that you didn't touch bases on about Wacky is the head of some racing outfit died in some kind of S&M thing in Brazil. I couldn't believe it. But, yeah, the world's going to heck in a handbasket.
Well, you know, I hate to tell you this. You know, everybody sits around and says, oh, porn. I don't like porn. I don't like all this S&M. You know, everybody sits around and downtrods all that stuff. But, hello, it's the biggest thing in the world. And so all these people who are sitting around bad-mouthing it are doing it.
And the porn industry just requested their own .xxx as an Internet address.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
Wow, I thought it might be S&M or something like that. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that wasn't nice. This is family radio, right?
No.
Oh, it's not?
It's not. No.
No, I'm kidding. I just woke up, so, you know, my yayas aren't here yet, but I'll have my yayas together here pretty quick. But, yeah, no, I'm getting a little tired of... You know, guys like Rob Emanuel and Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, you know, this crisis in the Gulf, you know, no crisis should go unattended, you know, or something like that, Rob Emanuel says. In other words, you know, if we got a tragedy, let's work it. Let's work it to our advantage. That's crock. Let's address it. And... cutting off the offshore drilling and looking for alternative fuel. Hell, if we got the fuel right underneath our feet, drill, baby, drill, let's go for it. Oil is a natural resource here in the United States, and it's proven fact by the scientists. And let's go for it. Let's get it. You know, if I needed to go three blocks to go get a drink of water, I'd walk three blocks and get a drink of water. But if that water was right here at my house, hell, I wouldn't have to walk three blocks. In other words, let's
see. We've got to. Okay, let's get into my whole philosophy here. My whole big thing is about alternative fuels, but it's not just alternative fuels. I have a plan. There is an actual plan about how to do this. The first thing we have is we need to get off the carbon fuels. Now, whether that's because of the fact that we're importing them or whether it's because of the fact that they're going to run out, I mean, it is a proven fact that everybody agrees with that they're going to run out. They're not going to last forever. The oil doesn't get manufactured fast enough for us. We use it faster than it builds. It makes itself. But anyway, one of the things is I've looked into lots and lots of different fuels. Wind is not reliable. In some places, it's very good, and it does a very good job, and why I think we need to have it, but it is not totally reliable because sometimes it doesn't blow. Sun is only reliable in certain areas, so it's not available just absolutely everywhere, and so consequently, you still have a problem with sun, so you need something to supplement the sun. Now, the wind and the sun do supplement each other to a certain extent, and then, of course, it's all supplemented with hydropower. The problem with hydropower, which is the most reliable thing that there is, the problem with that is we've actually got dams on all the rivers that we can put dams on. We're running out of any way to do more hydroelectric power. We have tons of it in the United States, and now it's all being piped all, or wired all around the world. I mean, and we don't get it all here. And I remember the day when I lived up in the state of Washington, and my electricity was 1.5 cents a kilowatt hour, and my electric bill was like $9 a month, and I had electric heat. But now it's like $45 a month, even in the state of Washington, where it's still cheaper than anywhere else. So what we've got to do is we've got to come up with something that is an alternative, that is something that can be generated or refresh itself or rebuild itself or whatever on a regular basis that we can control, and something that can be done locally. So we don't have to run it through pipelines or any of this stuff, which is where we get the spills and the accidents and have to spend all the money. So there is a system available, and there are two or three companies working on it right now. But the idea is that algae, you can grow algae. Algae does grow anywhere and everywhere. So some people thought, oh, algae, that's horrible. That's pond scum, you know, that's dangerous. No, it's not. You can use the algae from any location to make fuel. And so if it's an indigenous algae to where you live, obviously it's not dangerous because it's already here. So you can use it. But they've got the system now that you can actually refine algae into actual crude oil. So it's not just gasoline or ethanol in this particular case. Ethanol has a problem that it cannot be substituted straight across for your gasoline. You can mix it with gasoline, but you can't really burn it in most cars 100%. But they have a system with algae that they can make biodiesel and biogasoline that can be totally replace the gasoline that you use in your car or the diesel that you use in your trucks. And it burns exactly the same and, by the way, has the same amount of efficiency. You don't lose mileage with it.
Yeah, but that natural stuff, didn't they have a problem before with one type of additive or fuel where it can't be stored over a long period of time because it degrades its efficiency?
Nope. This actually is exactly the same as gas or diesel. It can be stored as long as gas or diesel, because gas and diesel, by the way, cannot be stored forever either. But it is the same as that, and it has the same properties. The difference is that, and it does, by the way, still emit some carbon dioxide. But the plants that, and by plants I mean factories, that make the ethanol from this algae use the carbon dioxide. So it actually comes out a wash. The plants, factories, use more carbon dioxide, than the vehicles that they're powering emit. So you're still ahead of the game. But here's the thing. These things can be small. They don't have to be huge. The each individual device that makes this fuel looks like a Coke bottle, and it's only about 5 foot square and about 11 feet tall. And then, of course, you can only manufacture so much out of those, but you put a bunch of them together. And they're perfectly safe. Even if you were to you know, like a Coke bottle, go in and throw a rock at it and break it, and everything flows all over everywhere, nothing gets hurt. No one gets hurt. You can go in there and I wouldn't recommend that you drink the algae because you might get sick, but it's not going to kill you or damage you permanently or anything like that. You're just going to heave your guts out, that's all. But and it doesn't necessarily smell meat. But the point is all of a sudden the manufacturer of the gasoline and fuels can be local. You don't have to have one giant organization, you know, refining it in one place and then sending the electricity over a grid around the world and charging all this money and causing all these problems. And when one person throws a rock at the wrong thing and breaks an insulator and the grid goes down and all of the East Coast has a blackout and people are dying and roasting and all that, then you don't have that anymore, because each individual area or community or whatever can have their own manufacturing plant. And what this does is it can be manufactured for about a dollar less than gasoline. So it's not really saving you. I mean, it is saving you a little bit of money, but that's not the big thing. big thing is we're really making a much safer and cleaner atmosphere.
Well, they also about having it done locally, just like with the LNG plants in Oregon. I mean, every state will have their own regulations regarding it, and some states will be cheaper to manufacture, other states will be more expensive.
Only if they've made it that way. I mean, it doesn't cost any more in any state because they use the local algae, remember, so there's no difference. So if it's a difference in price, it's going to be a state-mandated thing, nothing else.
Well, I can tell you what killed in North Dakota when they had their first oil boom. The state thought it was an endless supply of revenue, so they came up with all different ideas of how to tax it, and everywhere from a tax on oil well head to oil well knob to anything they can think of, thinking it's an endless supply of revenue. What happened is that it got so expensive for the drilling companies to make a profit, they just packed it up and called it quits, and that was devastating to the state of North Dakota because all of a sudden these funds just got cut off. Now that the boom is back, fortunately they've learned their lesson and they're not taxing everything as hard as they did before. But I could see states, especially Oregon,
tax and gouge, I know.
Yeah, Ted Tax and Gouge, me, Gulengoski, just kind of going, oh, wow, look at this great new source of revenue. We've got so much money coming out here. Let's tax everything. I'm just like people trying to tax the Internet.
Yeah, and things like that will happen. This is not something that can happen overnight. The only thing that the reason I wanted to go to the algae and the ethanol is because it is something that could happen right away. It could happen within a matter of a couple of years and can be burned in the vehicles immediately without having to have everybody rebuild their engines or causing everybody a lot of money or anything like that. It could just be substituted immediately. It is not an ultimate answer, by the way. Ultimate answer is going to be solar. Everything is going to run on electricity, ultimately. But until we can come up with ways to do the solar thing, which, of course, is going to be sunshine. It's going to be photoelectric cells, and it's going to be sunshine. But we have a long ways to go to invent solar cells that are efficient enough to do this yet. And until we do, we need a stopgap measure in between. And the algae thing could be that because it wouldn't take a long time to put this system together. And of course, see, when we go solar, that's going to be pretty local too. So it's going to make a huge difference in the way, but everything is going to go electric. Cars are going to be electric. And I know everybody says, well, you can only go 30 miles on an electric charge. That's not true. You can now go 250 miles on an electric charge in most cars. And what they're already building is service stations where they'll have a standardized battery in your car, and you can drive into a service station, and that battery will be changed in a matter of about 40 seconds, and then you drive out with a fresh battery. And you just pay them just like you would be buying gas. You're just buying energy in this particular case instead of, well, and it's fuel, I guess, is what you call it. But that's already being done in Australia. It's already being done in other places, good old Tax and Gouge, Kulongowski, is actually already building electric charging stations in Portland. He's going to have, I think it's 14 of them done in the next 2 years or something like that. So this is stuff that's already being put into place. So ultimately, it's all going to be electric, which I love.
Feel free to jump in there anytime, Terry.
I don't want to be rude, but...
No, be rude. Know, be rude. I don't...
Robin knows me well. What about making more efficient turbines in the dams to where they generate more power, you know, as they go through these dams and whatnot? I'm going to be point blank, you know, there's a lot of hippie mentality from the 60s going on right about now, you know, use this and use that and use this and use that. We got oil and carbon fuels underneath our feet. And we could put Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Kuwait all to shame with the amount of oil that we do have. And how many years have we been pumping out of those that we've been furnished.
Well, why is it then? Just to interrupt you, Drew. Why is it that we're buying 60% of our oil from having it imported?
That, well, that's the point I was going to get to. Is if if we've been running off of Saudi Arabia and all these Middle East countries' oil for all these years, and we got the crap right underneath our feet that has basically been untapped, why not go for it? I mean, this has been going on 100 years at least that they've been getting the oil from the Middle East countries, and we haven't even tapped our potential yet. You know, we're talking maybe 200-300 years. You know, I don't know how much Alaska has, but according to, you know, all the experts that I hear, that we've got a lot. And, you know, if you figure out how much oil is coming out of that one spill in Mexico, in the Gulf of Mexico, and how much is going to waste there, just one well, mind you, and we have the potential for I don't know how many wells, why not take advantage of it? You know, it was there.
And why, what makes you think that, we're not? How many oil wells do you think we have in the United States?
A lot of them are capped.
Not anymore. We have hundreds of thousands of oil wells in the United States. You ever been to Bakersfield?
I was born down in Southern California, yes.
Well, I lived in Bakersfield, and you walk down the streets, even in town, and as you're walking by a building, you'll see a nice hedge, a nice green hedge over there, and behind the hedge is an oil well working. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. We have oil coming out of the – we have thousands and thousands and thousands of them. I think we are actually tapping pretty much – we're getting there. The only, like you say, is there are some areas like the Alaska thing and a couple places where technically we could probably get more out. Most of these are in hard-to-reach places. And, of course, then we have the other little problem that our society has voted in and voted for, and that's called the EPA, which is eliminating a lot of problems. I mean, or creating, I guess, is a lot of the problems, because they won't let you do anything. Ultimately, I believe the answer would be nuclear. But nobody's going to go for nuclear. Everybody's afraid of it. Everybody's.
Let me throw in a little kicker on the alternative fuels, especially like with electric or non-petroleum type fuels, for example. Is the GPS requirement for the cars the states want to do to log every mile that you're driving? So in other words, instead of paying tax at the pump, you're going to pay tax per mile, which if you do the math, actually works out to it's a little bit more expensive.
Well, see, this I'm not addressed taxes, because taxes are going to be there, and as any time you find something that the public needs to use, whether it's the only thing that they've decided to not tax for some reason or other, and because it's something that we absolutely have to have, it's groceries. In most states and most.
And air.
Well, they're probably going to fit.
They'll
figure
out something
there. They'll figure. So basically, I have not addressed the tax issue.
Let me quick, because we've got 30 minutes remaining in the show, give out the phone numbers once again.
Oh, yes. Well, am I supposed to do that? 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887.
And if you didn't understand, Cliff, the number is 646-721-9887. Ha ha, gotcha.
That's good. We need to hire this guy.
I'm an ex-radio guy years and years and years ago, but there's no money in it.
I'm amazed that you're ex-radio.
Huh?
Usually gets in your blood. I'm amazed that you're ex-radio. It usually gets in your blood. I've been ex-radio about five times and still go back.
Yep, that's why it was easy to talk him into doing this. Anyways, chat room is open right now. We got a couple guests in the chat room. Welcome. feel free to join in if you'd like. It's real easy. Terry did it. He jobbed at, what was that number again?
Oh, that number again is 646-721-9887. Call us now.
See, folks, all he had to do was dial it once and he memorized it.
No, I got it on my screen. Now, I wanted to ask you another thing about this algae. What is its efficiency as far as consumption?
Again, they've got it to the point that it's the same efficiency as gasoline. You lose no power, you lose no efficiency. It's the same as gasoline or diesel.
Now, I've
and
also
by the
heard,
way,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I saw this thing on one of these reality shows or something like that. This guy, his wife had cancer, and he was some kind of physicist or something of that nature, and he was looking for a way to kill cancer cells for his wife. And salt water, he discovered salt water also is another fuel source or can be used as a fuel source. Had you heard that?
I have not heard that. I have not heard that. I've looked into all the different fuel sources, and there are hundreds of them. I mean, lots and lots of different fuel sources. So far, the only one that I've found where they've actually converted it to the same thing as crude, okay? It's converted Sapphire Energy, by the way, and you can find them at sapphireenergy.com. I'm not trying to promote them or anything else, but they're one of the major players in this. Is an industry, and they have a category of what they call green crude, and literally what they end up with is the same thing as crude oil, and you can use it in the same way. And one of the most important aspects of this whole thing, by the way, is people don't realize very little of the crude oil that we use in the United States is turned into gasoline or diesel. Most of it is actually turned into plastics and polyethylenes, and your television is made out of crude oil. The chair you're sitting in is probably made out of crude oil. I mean, a huge number of things are made out of crude oil. And this stuff that they produce from this algae is the same thing and can make all of those things. None of the other alternative fuels do anything except supply cars or trucks. This can supply entirely the same things as the crude oil thing, and it is a replenishable, and it doesn't destroy the atmosphere in the process. So it's a different thing. Now, there are lots of ways, and like I say, and I don't know if you've heard of it, but a lot of people are talking about clean coal. That's the biggest farce that there ever was in the world we are foisting on everyone. Clean coal is not clean coal. Clean coal is still basically almost as bad as it always was. The only thing that they've learned is literally they wash the coal before they burn it, and so there's a little less sulfur that is emitted. But it is not a clean source.
And people die trying to get that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so
people die trying to get
coal, by the way. Coal generates right now, and I don't see, so you talk about all this oil that we're getting. Coal actually generates 54% of the electricity in the United States, and it is the single largest air polluter in the United States, period. The largest. Causes smog, causes soot, causes acid rain, and when this was written, they said it causes global warming. Of course, we have discovered now that the global warming thing
global
is not something
warming
that we...
happened in Portland a couple of years ago when Al Gore was there hitting on an intern or whatever he was doing. But that started from his crotch. I'm sorry, I had to throw that in. I have no respect for Al Gore.
You and a lot of people have no respect for Al Gore, let me tell you. But anyway, the point is this: the algae thing is a stopgap measure for the next 30 years or so, until we can ultimately end up with, like you're saying, okay, and that this all goes back to your response about why don't we increase the efficiency of the turbines and the dams? Well, you know, there's only one minor little problem: we don't know how.
Wow.
We haven't got the technology yet. And so, and that's the same thing with the photoelectric cells. We don't have the technology yet. Quote, close quote, yet. I think we'll have it and we'll get it, But we aren't there yet. Algae fuel is here now.
Well, we got photosynthesis, our photoelectric, our photovoltaic, or however they take
it. Photovoltaic, but it's not efficient enough to do the job.
You're still using silicon to manufacture it.
Okay, and that can come from the algae.
Right. Of course, silicon is made by doping silicon.
Right.
The other, I guess, advantage about coming up with different type of fuels is that when accidents happen, and they do happen, like, for example, in the BP rain, is what to do about it. In fact, did you know that Kevin Costner actually came up with, him and his company came up with a machine to kind of help the separate the oil from the water?
I'm absolutely all for that machine. I think it's a great machine, and I think he's doing a fabulous job, and I know that they've bought 32 of them so far, and I'm sure they're going to buy more, but they just this 32 of them is going to go out there, and they're going to try them. But ultimately, yes, every oil well or any kind of a thing on water needs to have one or two of those. And I suppose, I guess it would depend on how much oil that they're pulling out of that particular well as to how many of these machines they need to have on hand, sitting around, waiting to take care of this. Because it actually, it's a machine that pulls the water in, and the dirty water, so to speak, and it, out of one spout, it throws out 99% pure water, and out of the other spout, it throws the 99% oil or junk into a tanker, and off it goes.
Can you reuse the oil?
Yes. Yes, it can be.
Hi,
Heather. It's, hi. It's a really an amazing machine that he built, and I watched two or three interviews now with Kevin Costner, because I am one of these people, you know, you got to be kidding me. An actor's going to come up with something like this? And, of course, my attitude is exactly the problem he's had all the way along. Everybody says, an actor? You know, first of all,
an actor?
Pardon?
Didn't we have a president who was an actor?
But he was an awesome president.
Yeah, that's below the belt. Yes, as a matter of fact. So, and one of the things, by the way, is he didn't invent this. He knew someone who did. All he did was spend $20 million of his own money to put it together. And the more I watch him talk, I saw him on CNN doing an hour-long interview that was really very interesting. And the guy is not the doofus that you think of actors. I mean,
like
I know that's a yeah. I know that's a really bad.
Well, like in a Wall Street Journal article where he's being interviewed, you know, he came right out and said that, I didn't come to save the day. He said, I came to participate.
Right. Right. And this is not saving the day either. I mean, but it is a tool that needs to be used, and it's a tool that nobody else has come up with. So use it, damn it. I don't care where it comes from. I don't care if my 9-year-old kid is, you know, sometimes 9-year-old kids are have the smarter ideas than anybody else if you just listen to them.
I'm sorry. 9-year-old kids are too busy helping the older folks fix their computers.
Well, that's true.
Well,
that's
I heard
true.
That a computer went out at some major university, and they sent it in a 6th elementary school class, and they went in and they fixed their computer system.
Yeah, I can believe that. You know, and just simple, stupid things like the truck that tried to go under the overpass and got stuck. The top of the truck was stuck, and he couldn't go any further, but they couldn't back up. They couldn't go forward, and they didn't know what to do. And the 9-year-old comes up and says, well, let the air out of the tires, and it'll be lower. Nobody thought about that until he said it, and it was such an easy solution. They let the air out of the tires, back the truck out, and off they went. But it took a 9-year-old kid to figure that out. They don't.
9-year-old.
They don't have. What?
9-year-olds for president.
Yeah. Well, the point is they don't have all this other crap in their head cluttering things up, and so they come up with the easiest solutions, as a general rule. And the older we get, the more junk we get cluttered in our heads, and we call it wisdom or whatever, and basically all it is junk cluttering our brains.
Exactly.
Then we become afraid to do anything.
Well, you know what my dad says, and he's a man of many years of wisdom, is our universities are putting out nothing but educated idiots. You know.
This guy is smart.
when you educate you over-educate somebody, they lose. And wow, was that my cue to shut up?
I don't know what that was.
Oh, a big noise in the phone. excuse me. Yeah, you know, and you know, I want to back up a little bit. Robin, and no offense to you, is you said something about this Gulf of Mexico oil spill being an accident. Are you sure it was an accident?
What are you doing, Robin?
Oh,
kind of kids with the education. I think because President Obama came right out and was changed his mind about offshore oil drilling, and within, I think, 30 days, we had the accident. I think it's too much of a coincidence myself.
Well, I'm sorry, but I have actually changed my mind about President Obama, and I'm finding him an absolute disaster and a big, big, big mistake. And I'm not saying the man is not smart or very bright and very intelligent. What I am saying is he doesn't know how to handle it. He doesn't know what to do. You can't do it all yourself. He doesn't, I don't care how smart he is, he can't know everything about everything. And this is something he doesn't know anything about. And so he needs to have other people handling it. But the problem that he has is, like some managers, they go out and they hire the very best expert they can find for the job, and they say, okay, come in and do this job, and here's how you have to do it. Well, when you hire the expert, shut your mouth. They know how to do it. You don't tell them how to do it. You don't put parameters on it, which is exactly what he does with everything. He says, well, you got to do it,
military.
But you can only do this. Exactly. Oh, great. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing that really, really made me mad was, here we are. We've got this oil spill going on. We've got BP out there working their butt off trying to do something about it. And then they call them in for a hearing in front of the House of Representatives. So instead of being out there doing their job, they're in here trying to answer stupid questions.
Down. It's a dress down. Mr. Obama is, I hate to even call him Mr. He doesn't deserve that kind of respect from me. He likes to dress down people. He's got this uppity, I'm better than everybody else's attitude, and he needs to go. He needs to go, not in 2012 or 2013. He needs to go now.
So
I can't stand him. I don't like Mr. Obama.
So, shall we put start up a website starting impeachment procedures?
Yes.
We'll impeach him?
Yes.
But then, I agree. Oh, I am too. I agree with you at this particular point. He is not the man for the job, and he actually is. You know, when Candy and I were sitting around talking about this years ago when we were electing him, we said, well, you know, what the heck? He can't destroy the world in 4 years. Guess what? He's actually working hard at it, and he might do it. So we do need to consider getting him up. I agree.
Ray Stevens, the comedian, has a YouTube website, which has got about a half dozen videos worth checking out. One of them is called Obama, Ya Mama, and it's hilarious, including another video, which is called Kick the Bum.
Low battery.
Obama's not too popular with Ray, but it's worth checking out.
Yeah, really. Ray Stevens is funny, really funny. Anyway, yes.
Michelle, if you'd like to join in with our special in-house.
Are you going to be with us longer, Terry?
Yes, I am. I just switched phones. I did send Robin some emails that she might find very interesting. Also about that the Messiah, as he likes to think of himself as. I'm switching gears here. This healthcare bill, Glenn Beck showed that there is at least 10 pages of new government agencies attached to this bill that he has made. And, you know, hopefully, Cliff, that Robin will forward this to you because I don't have your email address.
That would be. But my my email address, by the way, is really difficult. It's cliff@cliff.org.
Cliff at cliff.org. C-L-I-F
at C-L-I-F, yeah, with one F. Okay. Cliff at cliff.org, C-L-I-F.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I don't want you real to get overrun with emails now, but, you know, there's my dad who, you know, feels that, you know, the two greatest presidents we ever had, one was a Democrat, and that was Harry Truman, and the second one was a Republican, and that was Ronald Reagan, the Gipper. And my dad was very similar to Ronald Reagan. He says he didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left him. And it's no longer the Democratic Party. It's the party of the progressives, the socialists. And, we need to speak.
Well, you know, before you go further, I think if you look closely at both of those two people that you just mentioned, you'll find out that although they were in a party, they did not believe in it. They actually just did the job. They didn't do it according to the party.
Exactly. I mean, I wasn't born yet when Truman was president, but Reagan, when he spoke, people listened. I mean, he commanded respect, and it wasn't saying, you know, you listen to me, and it was just his delivery. You know, with Obama, it's all smoke and mirrors. With Clinton, no offense to anybody that liked Clinton, it was all smoke and mirrors with him. And this dressing down of the BP president, it was another case of smoke and mirrors. The Louisiana governor wanted dikes to keep the oil from coming on shore. Obama dragged his feet. He said, no, you can't do that. And all of a sudden, you know, Bobby Jindal, this is a great idea. And this guy, Bobby Jindal, is a Mid-Easterner. That's his heritage. And I feel that he's a better American than Obama. Excuse me. No, Mr. But
one of the reasons why he, Jindal, and Reagan, they were good communicators, because Jindal is a good communicator, but one of the most important things, they both had a tendency to listen. Obama does not listen. He has the answers.
He's got his marching orders. I mean, his marching orders, come from a guy named Sol Lewinsky or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking for this one thing.
Well, I think Obama has a problem. He's pretty good at standing up there and reading a teleprompter and delivering a speech, but he's not good at communicating with individual people. For example, this business with McChrystal. He obviously did not communicate with McChrystal. They didn't sit down and talk, or he just, you know, you do it this way. And, of course, McChrystal was smart enough. He knew what the hell he was supposed to be doing, and, of course, he knew what Obama was telling him wasn't it. And so that's a real problem. So, but if he'd been a communicator, he would have been able to work with McChrystal, and this whole military thing would not have happened.
Well, if you'll allow me just a moment to read you something that is an eye opener, and it's scary. The following is a narrative taken from a 2008 Sunday morning televised Meet the Press. The author, Dale Lindsborg, is employed by none other than the very liberal Washington Post. From September 7, 2008, Meet the Press, then Senator Obama was asked about his stance on the American flag. General Bill Ginn, U.S. Air Force, retired, asked Obama to explain why he didn't follow protocol when the national anthem is played. The general stated to Obama that according to the United States Code, Title 36, Chapter 10, Section 171, during rendition of the national anthem, when the flag is displayed, all except those who are in uniform are expected to stand at attention facing the flag with their right hand over the heart, or at least stand and face it. Now get this, Obama replied, as I have said about the flag pin, I don't want to perceive be perceived as taking sides. There are a lot of people in the world to whom the American flag is a symbol of oppression. The anthem itself conveys a warlike message. You know, the bombs bursting in the air, all that sort of thing. Are you ready for this? The national anthem, this is Obama continued, should be swapped for something less protocol and less bellicose. I'd like the song, I'd like to teach the world to sing. That would be our new national anthem. I might salute it. In my opinion, we would consider reinventing our national anthem as well as redesigning our flag to better offer our enemies hope and love. It's my intention, if elected, to disarm America to the level of acceptance to our Middle East brethren. If we, as a nation of warring people, conducted ourselves like the nations of Islam, where peace prevails, perhaps a state of period of mutual accord could exist between our governments. When I become president, I will seek a pact of agreement to end hostilities between those who have been at war or in a state of inanimity and a freedom that, from disquieting oppressive thoughts. We as a nation have placed upon the nations of Islam as unfair justice, which is why my wife disrespects the flag, and she and I have attended several flag burning ceremonies in the past. Of course, now I have found myself about to become the President of the United States, and I have put my hatred aside. I use my power to bring change to this nation and offer the people a new path. My wife and I look forward to becoming the country's first black family. Indeed, change is about to overwhelm the United States of America. And this guy says, what the hell is that? Yes, you read it. I am, for one, speechless. Dale Linsford, Washington Post.
Really?
Okay, well, I'd like to make a comment on that email real quick. That email is going around the Internet, and it is not exactly – Obama didn't actually say that. But I want to bring in here, we have 7 minutes left in the show. We've got some people in the chat room. Welcome. And I'd like to encourage you, if we still got some phone lines open, at 646-721-9887, if you'd like to join in the last 7 minutes, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the chat room is open. You can join us there or send us an email, talk@krbn.com, radio.com.
And feel free to call us all fools. I mean, we're more than happy to argue with you. That's the name of the game. More than happy.
Well, and it makes the show more exciting, too. Argument. Yeah.
you know, just briefly before we go, one of the things, you know, there are things that we can do to sort of wean ourselves off of the crude oil a little bit. For example, one of the things we should do is encourage businesses in the community to add bike racks to their parking area. So that we try to encourage people to ride bikes instead of driving cars. And I would like to be able to ride a bike instead of driving a car. But the problem is, you go downtown and you go to a store, what the hell do you do with a bike? You leave it outside and somebody steals it. And you go back and now you have to walk home. So add bike racks to the parking areas.
Well, the bikes. It has to be locked in like a cage.
Well, you can lock them up or put them, all you have to do is have a bar or something as you stick them on.
Have you ever taken a tour of the U of O?
No.
There are bike racks galore over there, and a lot of them with what's left of the bike still attached to the rack.
Well, if you want to get right down to that, then you there has to be a point where we have to believe in human nature a little bit, because I've seen cars parked alongside of the street with nothing left on them either. So there's got to be a point where we have to accept the fact that we have to start enforcing our laws, and that would help that a little bit. But there's all sorts of things you can do. One simple little thing like making sure your tires are inflated. That can actually use a little bit less gas and save you a buck. Carpool, bus, bike, walk to work. We need to be able to support the local mass transit a little better than I think we are. Choose a name. And when you decide to go to work someplace, move to a neighborhood where you're close to where you work, and or move to a neighborhood where you're close to the local restaurants and grocery stores that you go to or whatever. There's a lot of little things that you can do. Use less plastic. There are ways that you can use less plastic. don't buy gas-powered leaf blowers and lawnmowers and buy electric instead. Buy locally grown food, for example, so that it doesn't, and sorry about this, so it doesn't have to be shipped across the country with trucks or whatever. And that can save a lot of gasoline. Support telecommunicating for, if you're doing a business and having a business meeting, do it with the internet instead of flying everybody to where you're going or driving everybody. Take a train instead of a plane when possible.
Good in theory, and by the way, thank you, Terry, for your phone call. That's all good ideas in theory, but especially in this recession, it's not really practical. Like, for example, I drive 35 miles a day one way to work and burn about $200 a month in gasoline.
Okay, there are instances where, of course, where you're forced to do this or forced to do that, but a lot of these things are just real easy little things. For example, you could, you know, regardless of what temperature you keep your house at in the wintertime, bring your house down 1 degree. Just 1 degree. It's amazing how much a fuel everybody would be saving if everybody brought their house temperature down 1 degree. Or in the summertime, let it warm up 1 degree more than you normally do. I mean, there are just little things. It doesn't sound like much. But if everybody does this in the entire country, it's amazing the difference that it would make. You know, if you're building a house, of course, insulate it, do all this kind of stuff. Some people still don't. They're just little things. Wash your clothes with cold water instead of warm. New detergents are just as good in cold. There's a ton of little things that you can do without having to be anything really major. And if you do the big things, then that's good too.
Well, that's true. Every little thing can add up. I mean, just like changing to getting away from incandescent light bulbs, which, by the way, is going to be illegal to buy in the next couple of years.
Really? Well, see, and interestingly, I've got probably, 50 light bulbs in my house, only four of which are incandescent. I have gone to fluorescence on everything so far. But I also have a more important reason for doing that. For example, you only change them about every 5 years instead of every 5 months, which is helpful. Especially if they're up in the
ones.
What's that?
When you actually can find a good one, we go through them like crazy here.
Fluorescence?
Yeah.
Wow, no, I have no problem. The only time I really had any problem is on my porch light and on my garage light. I left them on all the time. And if you leave a fluorescent on all the time, it only lasts about a year. But if you turn it on and off, it'll last 3, 4, 5 years. And so I started turning my lights off. That's all.
Well, of course.
I mean,
when you look at fluorescents and disposing, I mean, fluorescents take a circuit board, the household screw-in ones that are replacing incandescent bulbs. They actually have a circuitry in them, and that takes gold, silicone, copper, and other electronic waste. So what are we going to do about that?
Well, why is gold a waste? I mean, all of this stuff can be reclaimed.
And recycle it. But that's an expense, too, for the little bit you get out of those.
Well, still, you know, we're not talking about saving money. We're talking about saving energy and saving the world. And you know, so to spend a little money recycling is fine. You need to spend that little bit of money doing the recycling thing because not only is it, it's putting somebody else to work. We're adding jobs as well. So it all is a help. We're running out of time. My God. I can't believe it.
And I can't believe I pushed the wrong button.
Oh, what's that? I just forget to remember, too. I know that we are running out of time. We got, okay, the little lady comes in and says we have 60 seconds to go. And it's amazing how fast these hours go. Just unbelievable. But we have it on the archive, and we do this, by the way, on Saturdays from 10 to 11. We sometimes don't tell anybody that, so they don't know when to get there and get with us live. 10 to 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, Pacific Daylight Time, so that you know what we're going on. Just thought I'd tell you that. Why don't you close it? Are you gone? What happened to you?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Anyway, come back again next week. Same time, same station. Be sure to check.
Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.